Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mian Team.
Ed Jin.
With guest co-host...
Thorburn.
Would you be willing to do the introduction to the show?
Sure.
That's, you know... Oh, great. I didn't even have to explain what was involved. You've already committed. That's excellent.
He's already been committed? What?
Welcome to episode 174. This is Sal, Thorburn Serio, along with Dan Quick.
Only on days that end with the letter Y.
Madjin.
Boom shakalaka.
Makalua.
I'm having tea instead of coffee today. Shock.
And last but not least, the Mian Team.
Greetings, vassals, and peace, vassals.
We'd better be allies and not vassals, I'm just saying.
Well, she is a heathen, so you don't really want her to be your ally.
Hey, Majin, that's filthy heathen.
Yeah, she is a filthy heathen for drinking tea and not coffee.
All right, we can talk about Civ now. Fun will now commence.
Do it. Is that how this works?
Do it now.
You will have fun.
Make with the fun. You must. Now, go. How about now?
Is it fun time now?
Are we having fun yet?
Well, it was for somebody on IGN who got to play hands-on preview with Brave New World.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Stapleton, and this is Justin Davis.
Hello, hello.
Everybody got 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever to watch it?
For some reason, they're only letting us show 10 minutes of video footage, but okay.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
What?
I think that's pretty sad, 2K, if that's true. But 10 minutes, that's not enough.
Oh, that's plenty.
Didn't that happen with the original as well, though? Like at the
You'd
tech
think
demo
they'd let them have 15 or 20, though. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, it just depends on who they are and what they're doing with it.
I guess really what the approach should be to that is it didn't look like there was really any substantial editing at all. So if you're only allowed to show 10 minutes, then post-production might help you with that so you could show the progression of a game. Unless they limit, unless it's like, no, it must be 10 minutes continuous, then you could record for like 2 hours and show a little bit from the first hour, a little bit from the second hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. They're probably using the press build, which is limited.
I do notice that you can see the icons for, I think, what are all the trade units or something like that, because there's now a pentagon shape icon. You know, we've already had our military units be round and the worker type units and other things be the triangle, but then now there are pentagon ones. Because I can see two ships and a camel, maybe a caravan. Because the person who's playing is playing as Morocco, and they've got Brazil right next to them.
I am Monaco here, which it was locked in for the preview. And here we're talking about, or showing some new mechanics.
So it looks like I can see a caravan out of Brazil, and I can see one of their ships, but then they're on a city in this one part, and you can, oh yeah, showing food, showing pressure.
Do you think they're camels because you're Morocco? Like, do you think it's based on?
I think that's just the caravan for that period. I don't know. I've only been able to play as Morocco.
So. Gotcha. Right, because that was what was locked into this demo.
Any first or second year English majors want to psychoanalyze why that trades were chosen as the Pentagon? No, I'm just kidding.
Don't look at me. I'm just telling you what I see. Just reporting the facts, man.
Trade routes are good. And considering they wiped out most of the gold on the map.
Yeah, it looks like in this a lot of the gold's coming from city-states, actually. They skipped ahead to a later part in the game where they controlled all of their piece of the continent. I can't see who's on the other continent.
Oh, so they did do some editing.
Yeah, a little bit.
See?
Obviously not enough.
And these are the Polynesians here. They really didn't like me in this game.
The trade menu shows you how much is going out and how much religious pressure you're getting in. It also has some good shots somebody can go through in a freeze frame where they're looking through the new culture menu thing, which also shows your relics and how many antiquity sites are left and fun stuff like that.
So would you say, you know, and every expansion always adds a lot of everything. New civs, new maps, new scenarios, but mainly this is focused on improving the cultural side of the gameplay?
Yes, the culture and late game. All of the stuff in here is really geared towards getting culture-focused players engaged while other people are fighting, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the forums have been ripping everything apart frame by frame.
Really?
There's rarely anything that manages to slip through. On the archaeology thing, I think one of the later videos actually states that you cannot buy archaeologists. You actually have to build them.
Oh, so not through faith or through cash?
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to be able to talk about all of it today.
Nope.
But, honestly, I don't fully understand everything yet because I've only gotten to play like two or three games.
Civ is a big game.
One point in the comments on IGN, and this will be the segue to the next video preview. Wand M. Dave says, at around 8 minutes 20 seconds, he said there are Polynesians, but the title of the ruler says it's Indonesia. It sounds like saying Polynesia was a slip of a tongue, and it really is Indonesia, which is the seventh new civ to be revealed. Am I right? And Dan Stapleton responds, my tongue is quite slippery. Apologies.
Okay, then.
So this press build seems to be getting around. Not that surprising. And somebody in Greece who is completely like an unknown, I don't know, managed to get a hold of it. There was quite a few interesting changes in the Let's Play video, far more than the IGN one.
Yes.
He lists out where all the international trade routes, so refrigeration, penicillin, sailing, animal husbandry, and I think there was a couple others in there for where you get an additional trade route. So basically, you start with none, and then through tech, you have the option to get more not war side of the tech tree. They're actually purely into the cultural side, so culture and trade routes seem to be rather hand-in-hand there. Not sure if that's a good thing. Otherwise, some of the tooltips, social policies now unlock wonders. Pyramids come at liberty, so you have to actually open the social policy tree. For the other ones, let's see, tradition gets the Hanging Gardens. Honor gets the Statue of Zeus, which of course is the DLC wonder. So obviously they're going to try and add some of that DLC, if not more of it, back into the base game. The rest of the social policies have other ones. Bit of a change for Honor is the fact that the construction of barracks, armories, and military academies is 50% faster with Professional Army. And that sort of actually goes along with the name. You have a Professional Army, so you get used to building stuff. Which means, if you are going Honor and you want to get those XP boosters, it's actually much faster. So you can actually use them rather than sit around for like 5-6 turns waiting or making a choice about whether or not you want to wait. Piety is now in the ancient era. Patronage and ascetics in classical, and then commerce and exploration in the medieval, and then rationalism, of course, is left all by itself in the Renaissance. So the piety opener, which still gives you 50% faster shrine production, is now available while you're available to, you know, able to build shrines. It's a crazy thing, actually having something useful at the time it's needed.
Speaking of something that was needed, trading lump sum of gold now require a declaration of friendship, according to ARVTRE in the comments thread.
Yeah, there's a whole full thread about that now.
I know. I'm like, oh, no.
I'm like, no. Yeah, take that.
I'll live with it.
You will.
I'll live with it.
Then I can stop complaining that you sell everything and, and then declare war.
No, they'll just complain about how I used to do it. That's not really going to change that much, I don't think.
So that particular topic did spin off a whole thread. People are all complaining that trading civs will no longer be as useful, i.e. Netherlands and Arabia and all that, and Russia. But it doesn't mean that the civs will be less useful. It just means that you won't be able to get as much lump sum gold as you used to. So that doesn't make them less useful. It just makes your strategy less useful.
And I saw other people complaining, but declarations of friendship are too easy to get. This doesn't go far enough.
Yeah. People you have doffs with is, well, it has some consequences. So I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, it actually does have a serious consequence. Because you don't just get the warmonger penalty. You also get a separate penalty for declaring war.
You're a jerk. Off.
The big complaints is that the standard tradition opener, the 4-city, go settle on your luxuries and sell them all so you can get more settlers, that's basically gone. So people are still...
Why is that a complaint?
Well, people are complaining because they like it. But then they complain that tradition is more powerful than liberty. Meanwhile, they're abusing the AI for all its money.
Dan. So,
I'm not complaining with them, though. I'm sorry, that's...
Well, no. People complain that, you know, tradition is stronger than liberty because you can do a 4-city tradition start and it's great. They just forget the fact that the AI gives them all the money to do it and that they don't actually have to build settlers. So now that that's gone, if you would like to expand liberty is your choice, and tradition is better just to go tall or like one or two couple, you know. You can still get to your three or four cities. It'll just take you a little longer because it's not supposed to be easy.
Wait. Wasn't that like the original intent of tradition and liberty, though?
And tradition goes tall?
Being silly.
No, you're supposed to use the social policies, what they're used for?
Understand that piety no longer keeps you from getting rationalism. They're no longer exclusive to each other. You can have them both.
Yep. And rationalism got a bit of a makeover as well. So apparently the rationalism opener is less bonus. I think it's, 10%, something like that?
Yes.
And the finisher for rationalism only gives you one free tech rather than two. Somebody else mentioned in a very recent one that apparently they also switched around the policies so that the one that gave you the extra science on trading posts and the university bonus was actually moved to the right-hand side of the social policy tree. So now you don't just go up the left-hand side of the social policy tree, grab all the awesome bonuses from rationalism, and ignore whatever's on the right because that was always useless stuff. Now you actually have to go up both.
Maybe in summary of this video preview, we talked earlier about it being a limited access preview. You can see from like the main screen of the game that multiplayer, mods, other, and DLC are grayed out. And there's only single player and options. And how come no one pointed out that it's version 1.01.970? How come that was not noted? I was disappointed because people were so specific about the ridiculous amount of detail we get into. Fine, I'll point it out then.
Mm-hmm.
It was your job to notice the version anyway, Dan.
Oh, that was my job?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
People partition this stuff. That's how you don't miss any details. You're lucky. You almost blew it.
BD Porter noted and not just this point, but where you can find it in the video, at 7 minutes and 19 seconds, it can be seen that the logo for the Barbarians is different on the processing turn interface. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a prime example of us just absolutely loving any and all detail. That is severe Civ trivia right there. Recorded for episode 170 with Makalua, Demian Team, Mad Jin, Alpha Shard, and Troy Goodfellow.
City-states appearing during ongoing game. This thread was started by, or it's a poll actually, started by Old Man HQ. And,
oh, Phil.
And
put a poll in. You
not
had complete control and you pulled it.
Sometimes the status quo can be trolling.
It's like Dan's here.
Well, this is probably why Dan picked it, because it's a poll.
Dan picked it. Exactly.
Yeah, Dan did pick the topics this week.
Would you like new city-states to appear during the ongoing game? First option was yes, yes, yes. Second option is not. It could get in the way of my ultimate conquest on settler difficulty.
This poll. That's hilarious.
Maybe the game lacks something like that, but I'm not sure if this is the right way to go. And that's the only three options there are, with the apparently guess yes winning at 15, the nah at 9, and the last one 13. And I voted for no because I thought one of the things I don't like about polls is when the poll maker puts his bias right in the options and pretty much makes fun of it. So I was like,
but isn't that the point? You're making a poll.
Yeah, and you want them to vote your way. But basically, that's right. We're asking what he meant by it because he was a little bit not quite as clear at first. He was saying that he wanted city-states to spawn or appear later in the game. But basically, when you conquer them, that there's a small percentage chance that they, I guess, rebel and become independent. Then other people saying that they didn't want it to be just a random city-state showing up somewhere. Yeah, I didn't really like this option. I like them beginning, not showing up later on when I'm trying to send a settler out there.
I don't know. I kind of like that. If there's areas like it's happened on some maps where even the AI hasn't gotten around to settling things and then suddenly a city-state appears. I mean, if it was just like once an era, an extra city-state or something like that.
Maybe when two barb camps are within 5 tiles of each other.
They become a civilization?
That'd be hilarious.
Hilarious. It becomes civilized. Oh, no.
Or any barb camp that's there for 50 turns or more instantly turns into a hostile city-state.
Hey.
That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're sick of you beating up on us. We're banding together.
Exactly.
I like this plan.
That is a good plan. I like it. I was just joking, but yeah.
That would definitely be amazing.
Audit.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you leave Barbs alone for long enough,
yeah,
they eventually want something to do. I mean, they produce a ton of units.
Yeah, it could make sense.
I just didn't want them to randomly spawn for no reason.
But I think for where his old man's HQ plan was basically something to do with Ficini's annexed or turned into a puppet and its native civ is destroyed. Percent chance that it gets go independent and it decreases as time goes on. Or if a city was conquered by at least three different civilizations.
Well.
You're the world's bleep. Therefore, you should be independent.
You should become a city-state. Tech with all these civilizations. They don't respect you.
Okay, the concept behind the second part doesn't make any sense. City's been wiped out by multiple civilizations.
That doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Or independence, either. It just means that somebody else is your boss. The first part might actually be more appropriate, because we do have the whole get rebels, stuff like that. So maybe if a city is super unhappy, which he gets into talking to, so annex city or puppet, basically, it's not your city that you actually founded, but somebody else's, and it goes super unhappy, maybe it'll go independent and rebel.
I don't know, because like, I want to see anything that would be added have some visible impact on the AI as well as the human player, and that just doesn't happen to the AI, like, ever. So I'd hesitate. Whereas, like, the independence thing, it's really... I have mixed feelings about it, because I think it's cool, but I also think it would be really annoying. So it touches a few good and bad things in my mind. But it just seems hilarious to see, like, Alexander get a bunch of city-state rebels on him because he conquered so many cities.
No, that could be even worse. Greece runs around. Alex smashes up the world, takes out huge civilizations. All of their cities convert into city-states.
Allied.
Alex, instant ally, and you'll never reduce my influence.
Nice.
Unintended consequences for win or loss.
Or even better, Austria has...
Oh, no.
Austria watches somebody else take over the world. All these cities flip to city-states. Austria says, yoink. Thanks. It's mine now.
Oh, God. Austria, thanks for all the territory.
There might be some minor details.
Minor?
It's like half Greek and half Austrian. It's just like a spotted continent. I'm liking this idea more and more. Just complete chaos and idiocy.
Or you mass spam out cities into even the stupidest tundra locations.
Oh, God.
You go super unhappy, or let somebody conquer you, you know, your extra 20 cities. They all convert to city-states. Now you have a wall of city-states.
Oh, God, in the tundra.
Maybe we should just have, like, one of them pop up in territory that is both not currently seen and is not occupied. And have done, if we're going to implement a feature like this.
Yeah, and city-states can't be raised. That is another point that Louis the 24th brought up. I think I like our made-up idea that barbarian camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
That sounds like a good plan.
Although that might give you incentive to actually leave barbarian camps there on purpose.
And then Germany could have a benefit.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, it's not like Germany's overpowered or something. That's fine.
No. Yeah, because anybody who sits there and barb farms, killing off stuff for culture, all of a sudden a city appears.
And it hates you because you've been farming them for years.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? You could just take that social policy that flatlines it, and then, you know, you could get an ally out of it.
There you go. Thanks for all the culture.
So long, and thanks for all the culture, yep.
Awesome.
Good times.
Thread started by Wigwam, changing existing civilizations. He says, what if you had to overhaul everything? Not just the civs that expect to see changed or the ones you'd like to have changed, but every single civ in the game. change them all so that they have different strengths, favor different playstyles, and are still relatively balanced with one another and diverse. A few militaristic, a few scientific, a few religious, etc. Having way too much time on my hands, don't tell my boss, I got as far as redesigning all of the vanilla civs using Gods and Kings and Brave New World mechanics, trying to avoid as much as possible reusing any ideas from the vanilla game. Now, this thread was started on the 23rd of April, and subsequently he has also visited all of the downloadable content civilizations that were released as well. And he did it just that. He identified the new unique ability, new unique building, new unit. But just in preface, Kalutz said, I don't think a redesign of the vanilla civs was on the cards during Gods and Kings development. Remember that they spent ages after the initial release just balancing the game. They just don't have time for that. The only thing they did was add a spy to England. Now that they have time after Gods and Kings to look at things in a fairly well-balanced environment, they can rebalance civs and spread some of the new content introduced in the expansion and downloadable content up to the older civs. Taking your first part of your argument there, I'm not certain why you would necessarily preclude that as also applying to Brave New World.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't have time to tweak all the civs for Gods and Kings, that doesn't mean that they're going to have the time to tweak them all for Brave New World. Both are expansions.
I don't imagine it's all that difficult to modify existing abilities to keep them relatively balanced, especially considering that the current civs as they are aren't necessarily well balanced anyways. Well, since you've already acknowledged, in your own opinion, that they aren't necessarily well balanced anyways, now that they're adding new civilizations and new mechanics, that's going to make it easier to modify existing abilities and keep them relatively balanced when, in your own view, they're not already well balanced anyway, and now we're adding more. I don't understand this.
What is this? I don't give in.
Wigwam says, I had high hopes for updated unique abilities. The downloadable content in Gods of Kings civs have such interesting, engaging, unique abilities by comparison that it'd be a shame not to get more creative takes on India, Germany, Russia, Ital. Some of the vanilla unique abilities are so boring, they may as well not be there. I guess I kind of liked it how that even though Wigwam acknowledged that the DLC civs, especially Austria and Sweden in particular, have such interesting, engaging, unique abilities by comparison, he decided to redesign them anyway along with everything else. But okay. All in, nothing is sacred. Nothing should be left to its own devices.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, how he treated Germany. Goes from ability to kick you in the face to, wow, that's kind of useless. Their horse artillery, which replaces cannon, apparently, plus one movement, which can be useful, but minus two range strength. So it's actually you're trading a little bit more speed for crap. And since that minus two range strength actually multiplies through, you're actually losing about 6 to 10 combat strength or range strength when you're attacking a city, which means, that horse artillery is pretty useless.
Could be a little better if it could actually move them after fire, even though it would be a siege weapon and have to set up. But if they can fire and still move it, that might make it useful.
Well, I mean, even horse artillery truly needed to be set up, but it'd be faster.
Yeah, right.
But then the Sternwort, an observatory replacement, the only thing that they have in there is no terrain requirement, so you can put observatories anywhere. Great. Those two things are pretty crap, gameplay-wise. And then you take it on top of the Poets and Thinkers unique ability, you get a free great musician when you discover acoustics, woo, and great artists, musicians, and writers are stronger, defined stronger. I'm guessing if you use their special abilities, they would be some percent stronger, which is not a bad concept, but overall, I mean, this would make Germany way worse in the game, because all of their stuff that he's listing here would basically weaken them to the point where you would never want to use them.
Yeah.
Aztecs are kind of funny, kind of amusing.
Yes. City-states are more easily threatened, yield greater tribute, and reward quests demand tribute with greater influence.
That happened, Dan. We play the Aztecs all the time.
Oh my god, can I just play like the Aztecs forever now?
Give me your stuff. The Eagle Warrior is also solid.
Although, you know what would be funny? I'm playing the Aztecs. Wait, city-states are disabled. Oh.
Yeah, but
I know it doesn't preclude the ball court and the eagle warrior, but still, ouch.
Yeah, but come on, you have to know that some of the unique abilities, you turn some function of the game that's supposed to be on, but if you turn it off, well, of course you're going to have civs that aren't going to work so well. So I don't cause any problems if suggestions are made based on things that can be turned off, like, you know, the religion system.
Yeah, this Eagle Warrior replacement for the Archer, no.
I don't know. Plus three combat strength, plus one range strength. It's basically the, Boudicca's little Celtic warrior, but ranged.
Well, yeah, but isn't that making its strength slightly greater than a composite bow now?
Combat strength is...
yes, that's... Yes.
So they'll take a shot to the face better, but they're only plus one range strength, so they're not going to do much more damage. They'll still be less than composite bow. Actually, they'll be less than the Babylonian bowman on the range strength.
Gain science for the Empire from each enemy unit killed when fighting a more advanced civilization for Japan. How much science?
Japan?
That would be interesting. You just fight all game long, nonstop.
Oh, well, if it's based on combat strength, which is usually what things are based on, eventually that burns itself out, so it wouldn't really want it. It'd have to be
something. But it's saying when fighting a more advanced civilization, so maybe it's based instead upon how much more advanced the civilization is.
And I assume more advanced civilization would be, do you have X number of techs more than somebody else? Seeing as how that's what the game takes into account right now for who's more advanced.
Or in a different era, maybe?
Or literacy. Or they could simplify it and say that, you know, more advanced units. So if you have your samurai fighting gunpowder units, then you'd get the science. Keep it simple. That way you don't have to do some hand-wavy, more advanced civilization.
Wait, you get culture for losing the samurai?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess.
It's that goes to the Bushido or honor death.
From a gameplay standpoint, it's kind of funny.
But I do like the fact that they replaced the knight with the samurai as opposed to the long swordsman. That makes better sense, not only because that's the equal counterpart. The knights and samurai are kind of the equals for their respective time periods and cultures.
And there really wasn't a lot of people wandering around in full plate armor, like not on a horse.
Yeah.
Or at least they usually started on a horse. And then after they fall off and roll downhill, they got up and started walking around.
One I'm not really too crazy about is America, the changes they did to that, Mother of Exiles, population growth and great person generation increased by 30% during the Golden Age. Seems like you got to wait for a Golden Age to even get their benefit. And even worse, though, is their unique unit. And, I mean, Ironclad is used, maybe 5 turns in a marathon game before it's obsolete. So I don't see...
The Ironclads are not obsolete for quite some time, unless you run all the way up to destroyers. Of course, battleships will wipe them out, but...
Yeah.
You can spam them, though.
Does not require coal means that you can build factories everywhere and use a unit in the game, rather than having to make a choice.
Plus, that Ironclad power increase they're talking about is like around 11%, which is at first glance a bit underwhelming, but it already has a 33% bonus versus cities and double movement on the coast where the cities would be. And so you combine that with the factories that you can build, which mean that you can produce even more Ironclads faster. Wow, that's actually pretty nice.
University's not bad, the land-grant college.
Plus 3 happiness.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. No.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
I just don't see where the changes for America would already exist in America. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Mother of Exiles, I mean, it's basically by the later game, you can go into near permanent Golden Age. Mm-hmm. But
do you bump that up?
I would actually think that Mother of Exiles would be better if the game had a mechanic where if a civ is unhappy, its population would move. So if you have a population-based happiness mechanic or something along that line, then America could have some sort of unique ability that, you know, draws in that population, which would make sense because, you know, unhappy people left Europe.
Yeah, I can kind of see some forum topics regarding such a mechanic already, though.
But that's a bit of a problem, though. That's the thing, though, if we had that sort of mechanic in the game. But we don't, so the best you can do is something like population growth.
Yeah.
And maybe person generation.
I am a little bit interested in the Arabia changes, although I don't even really play Arabia that much. I played against them, but I never used them. Or the changes that kind of piqued my interest there. House of Wisdom, during a Golden Age, all sources of faith also produce an equal amount of science. Start a Golden Age upon founding a religion.
That's actually not bad. If you go for mass polysites, that could produce like decent volume of science.
And then you have the Madrasa, which replaces the library, plus 2 faith. I'm assuming that's on top of the science that the library would already have.
Yeah, I would hope so. Your library doesn't increase your science, just plus 2 faith.
Yeah, no, that would be bad. Then the unit sucks. I want my camel archer back. Let's see. The swordsman replacement, you know, just plus one strength over the swordsman, so it's not even as good as a legion or much of anything else. And enemy units have minus 10 combat, percent combat strength when adjacent to this unit, so they have Polynesia's warrior replacement bonus. So it seems a little uninspired.
Why does England suddenly have to not have a naval focus? And where are my murder bows, dang it? I like their three range.
Looks like Rome brought back Noobtorians, even though they're still properly called legions. Plus three strength does not require iron. And you can buy mounted and archery at a 50% discount.
What? Like Rome needed more overpowering?
Oh, but that's not done yet, because you also get plus two happiness in occupied cities.
Completely useless. Two additional happiness in an occupied city, that only means that for the small period of time before either you rush by the courthouse or you build the courthouse, you'll get a little extra happiness. That two happiness will not overcome even the smallest city being unhappy about being occupied.
Yeah.
Well, it keeps up with the Civ 4 tradition of the forum being awful. Mm. So there you go. And the rest of the stuff being, like, ridiculous. Mm.
I would say I do miss the fact that they don't build roads, though, the legions. That's one thing I do like about the current version. You can build the roads and the forts.
Yeah, they can build their way to your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They're useful.
Now, what about this China? The Mandate of Heaven, plus one culture and plus one science in each city for every 1,000 years that happiness remains above zero.
Start in 4,000 BC.
Yeah.
And you go to, I don't know, 1080 by the time you win, something like that. 1450 is when the nukes start landing. so at most you get plus five if you stayed happy the whole time. It's kind of crap.
Yeah.
Partially because ICS isn't effective, though. Like, if you could more realistically keep your happiness up on a large map, I could see this becoming rather silly.
Yeah, but you'd have to keep your happiness above zero for that time.
And we usually all when have ICS, points when you fall.
Yeah, usually when you ICS, you go below zero for a little bit.
You know what you could do, though? You pick, like, a huge map, right? You turn barbarians off, and you just spam settlers nonstop. And don't settle until you have at least plus four happiness or so per city, you know, nearing 1 AD. And then you just plant a whole bunch of cities at once.
Yeah, because you can hit 0 AD pretty quick. So 4,000 to 0.
Yeah. You just drop a bunch of cities of four happiness everywhere.
Thanks, guys.
In his description in the spoiler, it says, this UA would probably be really hard to balance, but I like the concept. So long as the empire remains stable and the people are happy, China gets more and more glorious. Because the bonus is year-based, not turn-based, there's an incentive for a Chinese player to expand as much as possible, as quickly as possible, and then go tall.
Except the problem is that year jumps faster at the beginning of the game,
mm-hmm.
not at the end of the game.
That's
which
true.
Which means it's exactly the opposite of what he says. It's an incentive for a Chinese player to not expand and go tall, and then expand as quickly as possible after going tall.
Yeah, it would allow you to spam conquer after the BCs as well.
Yeah.
Really easily.
So sit there and be a one city challenge, build a shit ton of wonders, and then, oh hey, it's 1 AD. Bloop.
See ya. Welcome to my magnificent empire.
I would say of all of the existing Civs in Civ 5 that people have said, doesn't this Civ need to be revisited? The one that often gets talked about mostly is France, in part because that one has already been acknowledged as actually having a change in Brave New World. But according to Wigwam here, France, mercantile city-states grant happiness bonus, militaristic city-states grant experienced units, and maritime city-states grant experienced naval units. Okay, mercantile city-states already grant a happiness bonus mm-hmm. when your friends are allies. So does this mean we're adding to this?
Apparently.
Or, like, no one else gets it.
And militaristic city-states right now, when he talks about, like, experienced units, I have noticed, particularly as the game progresses, if I'm allied with a militaristic city-state, or even friends with, and this is usually incidental, not purposeful, unless there's a particular, you know, unique unit that a militaristic city-state can give me that I would like in a particular point in time, they can already be promotion-ready, you know, in the sense of, hey, here's a free unit, and, oh, by the way, here's a promotion. Choose which one you like.
Yes.
And maritime city-states, what, giving units?
Give you food.
Yeah.
No, now they give you naval units, too.
Experienced or otherwise, no, that's what militaristic is for. Oh, the Iroquois also caught my attention, particularly with regards to Raider, replaces longswordsman. +1 strength, no movement cost to pillage, does not require iron. Upgrades to rifleman. What? Does not require iron, longswordsman? No, I don't think that's a good idea. Assumably also that you could take swordsmen and then upgrade them into longswordsmen, but now that they don't require iron... Now, I like that right now, if you're the Iroquois, hey, you don't require iron. Here, have your Mohawk warriors. Oh, you want to upgrade to longswordsman? Well, you do have some iron that you can use, right?
What is the base strength of the musket again? I'm forgetting offhand. Because I'm looking at the sharpshooter one, and that's interesting as well.
24.
So you would have an attack strength of 30 when attacking with your sharpshooter, and you ignore zones of control and can move after attacking. It sounds kind of good to me. I like the sieve. The sieve would be very fun to use, especially since everything has woodsmen.
I'm okay with the sharpshooter, but not the raider. Not the part about not requiring iron. No, I think the requirement iron should stay.
No, it's good. If you're going to break a sieve, fully break it. That's what makes
sense. Oh, I see. That's what I'm trying to avoid. I thought he wanted these things balanced.
Clearly, this sieve is right on par with America in terms of bonuses. And you would have an equal chance to win, especially in a one-on-one, if you used either of them, clearly.
Oh, how about the Ottomans? Palace schools, +1 science, +1 culture, and +1 gold in the capital for each other city you control. So then you combine that with a shrine replacement that gives you +1 happiness. So there's going to be a building improvement that you get very early on in the game. It's cheap. It's going to give you happiness. And so then you can go and get even more cities that then increase your science, your culture, and your gold, which increases your ability to continue to expand. I realize as the game goes on, the +1 science, culture, and gold isn't going to, you know, be very powerful, but you want to set yourself up very well early in the game so you still have a chance in the mid to late game. But I think that's too much.
I see, yes. I see, yes.
I think that needs to be scaled back just a bit.
Nah, it's fine.
Oh, yes, you're on the let's make these civs like super powerful, like it's Civilization Revolution or something.
Well, I mean, come on. The Ottomans can expand, and then the Iroquois can just take all their cities. And then China can kill all of them and have no happiness penalty because it's after 1 AD.
Siam. Amity and commerce. When declaring friendship, Siam gets a combat bonus +10% within friendly territory. Gain 50% more science from trade routes. Well...
Do you get science directly from trade routes?
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, that's changed with Brave New World.
With other civilizations, right? It's not with, like, city-states.
Yeah, it's a question of, does it say international trade routes or internal city connections?
It just says trade routes, so it sounds like...
The international type, because you don't get science with internal city connections.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 50% with all trade routes, but because you don't get science from the internal ones, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The Sala, though, really? +2 happiness in all your cities. It's available at philosophy and no resource requirement, but why not just leave it at horseback riding and remove the resource requirement?
Yeah.
And see why you would want to move it, other than to make it a national college rush thing, so you can get extra happiness while you're there. Eh. The Jinkle Elephant replaces a Gatling gun. -6 combat strength.
But hold you on, get a elephants replace guns? What?
Well, you can put a Gatling gun on top of an elephant.
There you go.
Anything where it talks about, let's take away -something strength, I'm just like, right away, that's like a non-starter for me. No.
Yeah, no unique is worse than what it is based off of.
Except for that Iroquois sharpshooter, which gets -4 strength and a 50% strength bonus on attack. I'm okay with a minus strength like that when your base strength is reasonably high.
Yeah, no.
With Russia, it's a little hard to assess the unique ability. City-states offer more gold and faith when first encountered. Spies are more effective. And I guess I say that, like, how much more?
Yes.
Although when it comes to the faith, if you're the first to encounter a particular... Hello. In addition to instant pantheon, getting that much closer to a religion, so that could be too powerful, depending upon what we mean by more than that.
Hmm. But it also has a very limited use. If there's only like one or two religious city-states on the map, then you're not getting much out of it.
And there's not a whole lot to begin with. I think there's like 5 altogether, at least currently, so I don't know how many there'll be. I haven't really seen too many that are religious or implied to be religious in Brave New World.
Yeah. I don't think the faith side's that useful. I mean, it's okay. You almost guarantees a pantheon, but Russia is not exactly known for religion.
No.
Even in the older days, they just took Orthodox religion, which was, you know, Greek Orthodox.
Wigwam describes this as, I think this might be favorite apart from Arabia. Favorite what? I don't think it's that spectacular.
Maybe you want to just spam Ostrogs near city-states and have done.
Well, what is with the Ostrog? Why is this so convoluted? Keep it simple.
I think it is simple. You spam that next to city-states and then farm them for gold.
It's like having this really long run-on sentence with all of these qualifiers. Mm. Good grief.
That's all you would really need to remember. Spam this next to city-states.
Yeah, except that you get minus 50% to culture and gold cost of acquiring this tile and adjacent tiles.
You can build it outside of...
Except that you can't buy that tile or adjacent tiles unless there's a city within range.
Yeah.
And if it built adjacent to a city-state, extracts 4 gold at a cost of 5 influence each turn. So you build this next to a city-state, you get money, but they all hate you permanently. And there's no way to get past that 5 influence each turn.
And then in terms of vanilla civs, the other one I kind of took attention to was Egypt. There's Gift of the Nile. During a golden age, all tiles adjacent to a river gain an additional +1 gold and +1 production. But I kind of focused on this House of Life, replacing the library, +2 science for every 3 citizens in this city, and then +10% growth. And I'm thinking, so we're going to get +10% growth, and growth meaning, of course, then that, which, yes, because it's percentage-based as opposed to an absolute number, it's kind of more advantageous as the game goes on.
Yeah, the more food you have, the higher growth you're going to have.
I don't see it as that big a deal. I mean, it's an improved library, but it's not obscene.
No, it's not that obscene.
And considering that the Gift of the Nile is actually kind of bad.
Well, no, not necessarily, given that rivers no longer have gold on it, which means that during a golden age, all tiles adjacent to a river gain an additional 1 gold and 1 production.
Hey, but think about this in context. What percentage of your game are you running a golden age? What percentage of your workable tiles are river? It just doesn't match up to some of these other unique abilities at all.
Yeah, it just depends on playstyle. You can go into a near-permanent golden age near the end, therefore get a crap ton of gold out of it. The production's a boost, because you don't normally get production.
I mean, I'm not saying it's worthless, but it's the weak side.
It's not awesome, basically.
I agree. I'm not really crazy about the unique ability focusing on just during the golden age, where you have to wait till the certain time. Because, yeah, maybe toward the end you can get a near-permanent golden age, but early on when you need your unique ability to kick in is not there for you.
Just go Liberty.
Depends how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go Liberty. Free Golden Age. Done.
Speaking of useless, perhaps, how about the suggestion for Inca? Pay 250 gold to annex or puppet any hostile city-state within 5 tiles of your territory from which you've been able to demand tribute for 5 consecutive turns. What?
You can't demand tribute for 5 consecutive turns.
What? Hence useless.
No. What he probably means there is that if you're able to declare tribute and you don't do it for 5 turns, then it'll kick in. But then you can buy them out. Seems kind of...
Oh, from which you've been able to, not that you actually... Oh.
Yeah, not that you actually did. But even that... That kind of shortcuts Austria, who actually has to be allied with and then pay a bunch of money.
Although in this change, since you mentioned Austria instead would have puppeted city-states having no penalty to culture production and prioritize culture-producing buildings. Whoop-de-doo. I'm not thrilled by that. It seems weak.
Weak sauce.
I was going to say that.
Aww.
We've got to talk about Spain, because everyone talks about Spain, grr, and arg. How about, instead of what they currently have, by the grace of God, can purchase settlers and workers with faith? Oh, and if you found a religion, your new cities convert to your religion immediately upon being settled.
What?
Wow. That's awesome. Love it.
Sure, when you're playing Spain, but when you're not playing Spain, holy shit.
Spain can just stay balanced. It's all good.
That reminds me of the pain Isabella was in Civ 4.
Exactly.
No, Isabella's great in Civ 4. I don't know what your guys' problem is.
Let's also get the Reconquistador, replacing the Longswordsman, which gets you +1 movement. You remove heresy from a friendly city at a cost of 1 citizen for every 2 followers of foreign religion.
What the hell? Military Inquisition unit?
I like it. Spanish Inquisition, go, go, go.
Now everyone expects it.
Just station your conquistadors in all your cities and watch your, you know, entire empire fall. Because there will be pressure.
By the way, I'm waiting for the follow-up to this thread or the supplement to this thread once Brave New World is released and we talk about changes for Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
So what civilizations are they going to release with the next one?
Well, we've already gone well past the total number of civs in previous games, so that means all the troll civs!
Yes.
But I guess we can check the Civ Atlas to find out. Ba-dum-bum! There is a thread called the Civ Atlas. Lou, L-I-E-X. He decided to update some old maps to include all the Brave New World new features, including city-states, civs, world wonders, national wonders and projects, natural wonders, all that other stuff. On the civ side, you can see the big old map that he's got there, and it's actually a nice map. They did it quite well, so it's actually readable. Mm-hmm. You can see that Europe's more than just a wee bit packed. There is some empty space in there. You can still get the Bulgarian Empire. One or two. Apparently they had 2 attempts at it, so you can get a couple of those in there. You can probably get Ragusa. They had a tiny empire at one point. The Slav Empire, or something else along that line.
The Sicilian Empire.
Oof, no, see, Sicily's already covered by Roman Carthage.
Yeah, so. But Sicily, as I found out in another game, Sicily was actually a prominent kingdom that back in the Middle Ages that rivaled England for wealth.
Yeah. No, no, there's quite a bit, especially in the Renaissance, there's quite a bit of more city-state-ish size that had lots of money.
Plus, I'm Sicilian, so I'm biased.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll let that go then. There's a giant hole in Asia, apparently. Something in there. Siam apparently needs some competition. You can get Vietnam going, no problem. And, of course, Australia is rather empty. So, go Aboriginal Civ.
Yes.
Somehow Polynesia counts for New Zealand. Not quite sure about that.
Perfect sense.
Their capital is actually Honolulu, but I'm guessing they're counting Honolulu towards America.
Yeah, well, I mean, Honolulu, and there's mostly the island civs, but I don't remember New Zealand being properly part of the concept. But who knows?
Yeah, for placement purposes, like, it might make a little bit more sense because they have a little bit of a land there, like a land base where they can go out and hit all the little islands from.
Better. And then there's this giant hole called Africa.
Because there are no civilizations in Africa ever, guys.
Never, ever was. Mm. So yeah, third expansion's like, welcome to Africa. And of course, there's this massive empty space above this thing called the Merica.
No.
Is that what they call it?
Don't be silly.
Giant, massive empty space. The most super awesome civilization on the planet.
That would never
that
happen.
Is not part of it.
Greenland?
Nope. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's also Cuba.
Yeah.
The Caribbean is missing some stuff.
I think if you look at the city-state map, I think it would be better sense for the Caribbean to have city-states.
Yeah, a ton of them.
You could have Havana, you could have San Juan,
Kingston,
Port-au-Prince, if I said that right, St. Thomas.
There's a ton of them in there that you could easily grab.
Because the Americas are really lacking, especially with Brazil coming in, they're really lacking in city-states in Americas.
We move from the civilization focus, which is Eurocentric, to a Eurasian-centric focus of city-states.
Well, yeah, Europe still has most of the city-states, too.
Oh, yeah, Europe has a lot.
I mean, Africa actually has, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 city-states versus Central America's 2, South America's 1, 2 in North America, though with North America covered by, like, Iroquois and their merchants. That already kind of wipes out most of that concept. And then, yeah, Southeast Asia actually starts getting more of the city-states. So you kind of cover city-states with the areas that had lack of civs.
And then there's, of course, Europe that gets both.
Then you also have the Mediterranean Middle East coast, where you have Byblos, Sidon, and Tyre, or Tyre, however you pronounce it, all like right there together, and then Jerusalem right there. I think that's the tightest fitting group right there.
There's quite a few city-state potential in the Baghdad area. The problem is that, you know, Babylon and Assyria kind of take up those names. And that's the problem. That is the problem with finding locations for civs and city-states, because some of the civs take up a lot of the names, so you can't really quite city-state it.
The Eurasian focus, of course, extends to World Wonders, too.
Yeah.
Although Natural Wonders is probably the closest to a balance that we're going to find. Air quotes.
Yeah, I mean, National Wonders has Apollo program and the nuke in the States. Oxford in England and Circus Maximus in Rome, plus the Hermitage in Russia.
I will say that one thing that's always kind of bothered me is how they make the Colosseum a regular building. And why couldn't they do the arena for the regular building and make the Colosseum a wonder? Because to me, that would make better sense.
Yeah, there is really only one Colosseum. Should be an arena. But then again, apparently we now have zoos instead of theaters.
I wonder, did they announce any new... I guess they haven't announced any new natural wonders yet. But I know we did get some of the last expansion with Gods and Kings.
That's where you get Mount Kalish and Shripada and Uluru and
Mount Sinai.
Yeah. Although I love how El Dorado and Fountain of Youth are just floating over the Caribbean. They're somewhere over here, maybe.
Somewhere around there.
World Wonder-wise, still massively Eurocentric. To the point where
they... Makes sense to some degree, though, because what are the most likely purchasers of the game?
No, that has nothing to do with that. Is it cool?
Now we're getting the troll faces. It's cool, quote unquote, because of who's buying the game.
Obviously, the actual Seven Wonders of the World are in their appropriate locations. All the rest of them are fakes. It does look like they added a few of the new ones, like the Motherland Call statue and some other stuff. They can just like put one giant dot over France. Paris is somewhere around here. There's stuff there. There you go.
Blue, Notre Dame, the Eiffel Tower.
Yep. New York's starting to build itself up as well. I love how Mongolia, though, on the Civ map, Mongolia is just a little space here, and then it just has four arrows pointing out.
Over there, 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 there.
Yeah. If it was in any of these four directions, they had it. It probably saves them just shaving, like, the whole map.
Shade all of that side of Asia all the way to Europe. That's what the Mongols had.
The person who started the thread had said that these maps are not intended to be accurate.
Really?
For instance, they won't show most great empires, such as the Mongolians or the Romans, at their greatest extent. That would be impractical to draw and ugly to look at.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's a whole other question and answer session. It's on the blog, the 2K blog about Civilization. They answered more questions. I don't get this one. I mean, I sort of get this one. It's funny, though. What is your favorite currently unrevealed Civ and why? It's a Civ with such a unique playstyle that no Civ ever before has been designed this way. It's not just outside the box. It's an entirely separate hypercube.
Okay, and that comment has spanned a separate thread that has more than 480 replies and 25,000 views in less than 4 days about what separate hypercube means.
Do you not understand what a hypercube is?
Well done.
A four-dimensional cube.
It just makes me think of the Borg, so it's obviously
no,
the Borg.
No, Dan, no. That's not how it works.
You had me a cube.
But at least they told us what the International Space Station Wonder is going to do. Plus one production from scientists, plus one science from engineers, and great scientists give you 33% more science when you discover a tech. If you have crew on board, you get a free great scientist. Wow. That's a lot. If you're the primary contributor, that is. You'll have mission control there and your capital and all that.
Yeah. Some people have worried that, you know, by the time the ISS comes up, you're probably already done.
I like the response to, if you pillage a Portuguese Victoria, would it be an act of war? Yes, since it's owned by the Portuguese and not the city-state where it's situated. How would you feel if someone burned down your tile improvements?
Right.
Whoa, it's going to get personal. Jeez.
Yeah.
Touchy, touchy.
I guess that also means that city-states are very unlikely to burn down the Futura, if it counts as an act of war, since they're now live declaring war.
Yeah.
So that kind of means that if you put it there, the city-state's not about to pave over it.
The threat on Civ fanatics, there are good questions and then there are bad questions. An example of a good question would be from Captain Fargle. What does the new technology internet do? And the reason I say that is because it's not going to be a yes or no answer. Unlike, are there any more unique improvements to be revealed? Yes.
Yeah.
You do not want one word answer questions, but there are some really out of there questions in this thread. I've got a top five list because the top 10 is just too powerful.
Dan and his list.
Well, there was no poll in this thread, so obviously I had to liven it up somehow.
No, we'll get some polls in a minute.
Petis Cater says, what is the color scheme for the last of the new Siths?
What?
Hemlock Martinis, what are the starting location biases of the two unrevealed civilizations?
Hey, now, these are good questions. They'll tell you a lot. Starting bias can tell you exactly what the Civ's about.
Kind of like out there questions a little bit, but it's a good question. Crodface, oh, sorry, I didn't say that right. Crodface? He has a question mark at the end of its username. If you assign a point value, 1 to 26, to the alphabet, what is the numerical sum of the letters of unannounced leader's name?
What? Come on.
That would actually take them a little while to figure out.
Or how about Gossi is, what is the sum of the unit strength of all the unique units of the unreleased civs? That won't take as long to calculate, but it's like, wait a minute.
How's that going to help you?
Or how about the most complicated question that I saw? Harold the Greats, what is the square root of the number of letters of one of the leader names of one of the unannounced civs divided by the amount of DLC you plan on releasing after Brave New World?
Square root of all?
Yeah. See, if you give any number at all, then therefore you have confirmed you plan on releasing downloadable content after Brave New World. I love how he kind of threw that in there.
Yep.
But the ones that I thought were most humorous was, first off, where is the Holy Grail, says the Prince of Nigeria, or the King of Big Oz? Is Krakatoa going to finally be fixed so it spawns within 3 tiles of a landmass so we can actually work it for once?
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, don't be stupid. Krakatoa is just, you know, the holy mountain in Civ 5 that it was like in Civ 4.
Ah, that quest.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
This has been Polycast episode 174. I'm the Me and Team, and today I was joined by regular hosts, Dan Quick.
A change will do you good.
Makalua.
Well, at least you didn't have any poll things to do this time.
Nope, just tea and tea bags. Majin?
Thanks, I'll stick to my coffee rather than your tea bag.
Yeah, I don't want that one either.
And the guest co-host, Sal.
And I have nothing really intelligent to say.
Yeah, what if the unexpected hypercube isn't a European Civ? Of course, it will be the aliens, because they can build the pyramids.
I guess so. That goes back to Dan's theory about the Borg.
Hey, come on, you've got the XCOM squad. Extra production from scientists, extra science from engineers. Great scientists produce 33% more science when used to bulb. Not to mention you get a free one, so...
I just said all that.
Yeah.
But space station!
Yes, you can have a space station.
Imagine repeated what you said, Mackie, because he hadn't said anything for a while.
Better.
Yeah,
like space elevator.
Yeah, like, we haven't heard anything from him all day. He totally had to repeat everything I said. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Welcome.
Thanks, lady.
I was very quick to hit the stop stream button before Phil could say something else.
Record date June 1st, 2013.
IGN Sound Clips, copyright Ziff Davis Media. Civilization 4 and 5 Sound Clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.